Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
First Corinthians 4 and 9 through 10, Paul said, "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." My subject for a little while today is simply this: the expectations of a fool for Christ. Now, I want to start out today by establishing a contrast between what takes place carnally and what takes place spiritually. We understand in the book of Romans that there is enmity, hostility, a warring, a tug of war, if you will, between the spiritual and the carnal. I want to tell you today that we do not need carnal excuses. We need divine forgiveness. We don't need 1,000 reasons why something didn't work. We don't need to point the finger of blame at someone else or everything else. We don't need to excuse ourselves from the responsibility of certain actions and certain choices that we've made. We understand that from the beginning of time, there is a cause and effect of sin. There's a cause and effect of disobedience. If we disobey the word of God, there's going to be destruction somewhere down the road. If we're obedient to the Lord, then the promises of God are clearer and better established in our lives. If we live just as hearers of the word and we don't practice them, we don't put the principles of the word of God in motion, then Jesus said we're like a man that builds his house upon the sand. When the storms come and the floods begin to rise and the waves beat vehemently against the foundation of that home, it can't stand. It cracks. It breaks apart. It's swept away. Because you can't just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. It's not just having the attitude of righteousness. We have to have the actions of righteousness. It's kind of like a fuse on the end of a stick of dynamite. That dynamite is harmless until you light that fuse. Then it becomes powerful, becomes explosive. Being a hearer of the word only is just having a stick of dynamite with an unlit fuse. Got all the potential in the world, but there's no demonstration of the power. This is why Apostle Paul told us that he came not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but he came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, because he realized that we didn't need carnal excuses. And a lot of times, we end up making excuses and we come up with 1,000 different reasons why something didn't work because we go according to human hypothesis. We live according to certain ideas. We lean on the arm of earthly advice that has no scriptural value to it whatsoever. So we don't need carnal excuses. We need spiritual adjustments. And to have that, we have to have divine forgiveness. We're not able to save ourselves. We're not able to write things off. We're not able to erase the record. We're not able to pardon ourselves from the prisons of the past. We have to have a forgiving Savior. We have to have the message of the old rugged cross and the blood of the Lamb that was spilled, that was bled out, that was given for the cleansing of our sins, so that you and I could bring all of our earthly reasons, all of our rebellion, all of our iniquities, our lawlessness, all of our transgressions, the laws that we've broken, all of our sins, the errors that we've made. We could bring all of that to Calvary. And instead of pointing fingers of blame, coming up with biological reasons, generational curses, we just lay it all out before the Lord and say, "God, here it is. I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. But I'm coming here at Calvary today for forgiveness. I'm coming to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb." Secondly, we do not need carnal exercises. We need divine fire. One might think that we need to howl at night like wolves roaming through anxiety's forest, ravenous for the flesh of human ideas, craving community like a pack on the same quest of blood and frenzied freedom. No, I don't need howling. I need His holiness. I need His presence. I need a passion to be in the house of God. I need His name, which is above every name, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I do not need to let out my inner wolf. I need to let in the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Bloodthirsty wolves will not save you, but the blood of the Lamb will save you. We need His presence in our lives. We need a Savior to open the door of hope. We need a Savior to break the chains of addiction and anger. We need a Savior to break the bonds of bitterness and deliver us from the corruption of this devolving society. We need a Savior to deliver us from the lawlessness of breaking the law and of disappointing the grace of God. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We couldn't hang ourselves on that old rugged cross. We need the presence of the Lord, and we need a divine fire. Because when you let the Lamb in, you also get the Holy Ghost and fire. When you get the Holy Ghost and fire, friend, you get a passion for the things of God. You get an anointing that breaks the yoke. You get access to the supernatural. You get an understanding of things that are truly serene, not because of human exercises, but because of divine providence. We know that the Lord is our provider. We know that He's our protector, that our blessed assurance comes from Him. And my friend, when you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, when you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, it's a takeover by the truth giver. It's not an invasion of things you don't want in the house. It's not a thief coming in to break in, to steal, to destroy, to kill, to bring your life to ruin or wreckage. No, my friend, it's redemption. It's a story of grace. It's a rescue out of the pits of despair and out of the wildernesses of hopelessness. When you get the fire of the Holy Ghost, you get a passion on the inside. You get a light on your path. You get to live your life according to the burning testimony of what God has done for you, of where He's brought you from, how that you no longer live your life making excuses and living according to the exercises of the flesh. You're not having to go to the bar rooms anymore to drink some alcohol and have momentary escape. You're not having to go to the crack house or have illicit affairs or just depend on the sensational things of the world to get you by. Because you have an experience with God now, you have a spiritual breakthrough. The chains of the past have been broken off of you, and you've got these divine embers that live now on the inside of you. And at just the mention of His name, those embers get stoked and a fire begins to blaze and you begin to burn a flaming testimony, a bonfire of hope to those that sit in the regions of darkness, because you realize that you were called out of darkness into marvelous light, and you weren't called into marvelous light to be a muted witness, to be a silent spectator of what God has done. No, you're a living witness of what God has done for you. Thirdly, we do not need carnal explanations. We need divine foreknowledge. I tell you today that I refuse astrology's predictions, looking at Mayan calendars, listening to unholy prognosticators. You know what the Bible tells me? I have a sure word of prophecy. I refrain from horoscopes that need me to read its star sensationalizing of my future. You know what I've got? I have the day star Jesus Christ, who holds my future in His hands. I refute tarot cards as the way to know what's coming on the horizon, what's coming tomorrow, or by the luck of the draw, find out what intentions fate has for me. No, my friend, I have the Word of God that doesn't need luck or sleight of hand or magic or chance. You don't need a psychic reading. You need to get back to your daily Bible reading. And why do you need someone blowing the dust off some ancient manuscript of philosophy of Socrates and Aristotle and Zoroaster and Plato and Nostradamus to find out what you need to do next? My friend, you've got the everlasting Word of God, the eternal text of life and liberty. There is a verse for every adversity in your life. Who needs the witch's brew of spells and superstitions and esoteric symbols? You have a sure word of prophecy in the Bible. And my friend, the Bible is not outdated. It is constantly updated by accurate prophecies of tomorrow. And the book of Revelation is more important than all the journals of witches and astrologers put together. Hey, friend, you don't need the secret handshake of a secret society. You need a touch from God. So put down Charles Darwin and his theories. Pick up the Chronicles of Christ, called the Bible. Live by the truth. Because theories are ideas, hypotheses, concepts, presuppositions that might or might not be true, or may have some inkling of truth mixed into a bunch of erroneous calculations. But with Jesus, you have a sure word of prophecy, 100% accurate, never failing, never off by an inch. You need to touch the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friend, you need the divine touch of God. You need a divine foreknowledge of tomorrow. You need to understand that the word of the Lord predicts things in the future in many ways. The worst is yet to come, but in other respects, the word is yet to come. Because there's going to be a great and a terrible day of the Lord. It's going to be great for the children of God that put their trust in him, but it's going to be terrible for the sinner, terrible for the backslider, terrible for the apostate that walked away from truth, terrible for the atheist who believed in his heart that there was no God. But my friend, there's a day coming according to the word of God, not according to astrologers, not according to some philosophy book, not according to some modern day twist on the word of God or transliteration that waters it down so much you can't tell the difference between the Bible and some other philosophy book. No, friend, the word of God is true. It's an everlasting text. It's a light unto our path. It's a lamp that shows us what is coming. And if we trust in the Lord, we realize that all the things that are ahead, they don't have to be horrible. They don't have to just be terrible. There is a good ending. And it's not a fairy tale ending, because this is not a fiction book. It's a book of facts. Facts that have already been stated according to the foreknowledge of the Word of God, because he sees the end from the beginning. My friend, we do not need carnal expectations. We need divine favor. We understand that fear will have you looking at every possible bad outcome. But faith, it looks for the miracle. It trusts God through the storm. It waits on the Lord despite the terrible report. It believes Scripture more than analytical statistics. My friend, today fear torments, but faith triumphs. Fear clouds the mind with every negative thing, every pessimistic possibility. It feels the wind and it thinks of nothing but destructive tornadoes. It feels the heat and thinks of nothing but fire and ruin. It feels the rain and thinks of nothing but flooding and loss. But faith knows that in every storm of life, there is a contrast of the natural and the supernatural. The wind is the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Ghost. The fire is the life-altering passion of truth that consumes the believer. The rain is the outpouring of the Spirit, a torrent of truth that brings dreams and visions. The river, it's not a flash flood of ruin, wreckage, and death. No, it's the flow of abundant life that brings life and growth and unparalleled fruitfulness. That's why today you don't just look at the headlines. You don't just listen to the talking heads on news stations. You don't just listen to analysts that give you derogatory reports about the economy, about health, about every crisis in the world. No, you trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 2 Peter 3 and 13 said, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Watch now. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So we don't need carnal expectations. We need divine favor. We need to be looking for that blessed hope. We need to be looking for Christ coming in the clouds. We need to be listening for the trumpet of the Lord that is going to sound. We need to be inspired by the fact that someday, soon, there'll be no more death and sorrow and sadness and sickness. We need to understand that Jesus truly is coming again. Now, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that there was a sick, hemorrhaging woman in the Bible. She had exhausted human possibilities for 12 years. She had been to every kind of doctor, consulted with off-the-beaten-path physicians who had her try a number of superstitious formulas, but nothing worked. According to the law, Leviticus 15 and 25 through 27, excessive blood flow like this woman was having, it made a woman ceremonially unclean. Any furniture she touched was unclean. If other people touched anything that she had touched, they were unclean. So this woman was very alone. She had no one who really wanted to be around her. She couldn't go out in public like everyone else. She couldn't be hugged by her family. And for 12 years, she lived in this quarantining circumstance. And then one day, hope shifted on her planet of disappointment. Sun rays cast a different light because a different doctor came to town. He didn't need superstition. He was the supernatural, the Son of God, the flesh-robed creator of the world. And she wanted to see him. So she grabbed her shawl and she wrapped herself while smiling in a kid-like expectation. And she went to see this famed speaker. And when she got there, the crowd was thick and his voice was distant. Her sight of him, limited by taller men and blurred by a glaring sun. She shaded her eyes. She moved to the left and to the right. But everything she did just couldn't get her a better view. No ordinary position gave her audible satisfaction. She just couldn't see him. She couldn't hear him well enough. And she had to get near him. So she went low, not in meanness, not in malice, but for mercy. She dropped to the ground and started shoving against the human blockade. She was now in a world of dogs, if you will, for she crawled ahead on all fours, her heart racing for her master, wanting to get near the healer, having to just get close to him. She dodged stomping sandals and she twisted and turned, winding through curtains of robes and dresses. Pushing through, she got closer, determined to touch him. She ignored the grumpy patrons who snapped at her. She had to get to him. Oh, that all of humanity would be like that right now in this COVID-19 crisis. That they wouldn't go to atheistic ideas. That they wouldn't just lean on the theories of scientists. And we appreciate everything that medicine and earthly doctors could do. But in a spiritual sense, I wish that everybody would get the determination of this woman with issue of blood. Push through the crowds. Get beyond the ordinary. Crawl if you have to get to the old rugged cross, to get to a place where you can touch him, where you can get to something that is beyond yourself, bigger than yourself. Because this woman felt that way. She had to get to him. She was a woman with an issue. My friend, when there's a woman with an issue, it's best you just get out of the way. And all of a sudden now, she's there. She's right there on, and destiny was at her fingertips, and she reached. The same hand that reached for false hope in 100 different medicine bottles. The same hand affectionately taken by well-meaning earthly physicians. It now reached and touched the hem of his garment. She didn't have to yank at it. She didn't need to pull on it like a dying, dangling man over a ledge. She just simply touched it. All of a sudden, healing electricity shot through her body. Diseased blood vessels exploded with divine therapy. Radiation from another world zapped any curse invading her dignity. She wouldn't have to hide in humiliation anymore. She wouldn't have to avoid being hugged or hugging her loved ones anymore. She wouldn't have to hide her face if she went out in public or keep her social distance from everybody because she was unclean. No, no, no. Grace was siphoned from the eternal atomic power of the universe. Here appearing as a man, but running through his veins was the virtue of miracles. Her blood was healed. She wasn't going to have an issue anymore. She was going to have a testimony. She had a breakthrough miracle. And so, like the woman with the issue of blood, we are fools for Christ. Now, listen to what this word means here in context. It comes from a Greek word, moros. It means to be dull, insipid, flat without an edge, mentally inert, dull in understanding, nonsensical, moronic, lacking a grip on reality, acting as though brainless. It refers to physical nerves causing one to become dull, like these nerves have been damaged so that you are sluggish and incapable of anything intelligent. So my friend, when it comes to Christ, we may be, by this world's estimation, stupid, but I still believe Jesus is a healer. We may be dull, but I still believe in his word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. We may be mentally inert because we don't accept Darwin's theory of evolution, or while others think the Bible is a fairy tale, we know it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Call me crazy, but I'll take the cross. Call me silly, but I still have blessed assurance that Jesus is coming again. Call me brainless, not having a grip on reality. But someday, this foolish notion of heaven will have all us crazy Christians grabbing a very real crown in a very real heaven with very real streets of gold. Maybe they say of us, "Oh, he's a little touched." You know what I mean? But that's all right. I've been touched by the Master's hand. I've been touched by the grace of God. I've been touched in my emotions by the joy of the Lord that is my strength. I've been touched in my spirit by a resurrected Christ who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I encourage anybody listening to this today to come to the old rugged cross and repent of your sins today, to have your sins washed away by being baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ, by being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about who mocks it. Don't worry about who rejects it. Don't worry about who may even refute the theology of it. You need the experience of it, because when you let God touch your life, you find out it's more than dogma. It's more than a doctrine. It's Dr. Jesus walking into your life, and he's not just coming for a visit. He's coming to live. He's coming to take up residence. He wants to be your savior, your friend, and your king. And when you step into his dominion, when you walk into his kingdom, you become a child of God. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Come to the Lord today and join these people who might be fools for Christ's sake, but their expectations are in a real heaven and Jesus, who is a real Savior. Come to the Lord today in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.